Father. Do not think that your salvation is only about going to heaven. Do not begin to entertain the thought that what I have promised is going to someday come in your future, but begin to believe it is now, saith the Lord. For the things that I promise are yea and amen. They are not, oh, for someday after you're dead. No, 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 no. It's for now. It's for now. It's for now. Your salvation took place and is daily, even by moment, taking place in your body and in your soul. For you are continually renewing yourself in me, says the Lord. And as you do that, I am quickening the manifestation of my spirit, my life in you, says God. Do not begin to put off that which I have given you now for some day in the future that will never get here. For tomorrow is always ahead of you. That's why I say today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of my appearing. Today is the day of my coming, says the Lord. For I do not see it as some day by and by, but I see it now, says God. And when you begin to walk in the power of my spirit, the things that you have put off for tomorrow, you will suddenly find are at hand, and you can possess them now, says God. So praise God. If there's no other announcements, are you ready for the word this morning? Yes. Amen. Let's start out with our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now, we're talking, we started last week on a series of understanding borders, because a lot of things we don't really understand about borders. God spoke to me here about now probably close to 2 months ago about borders, and he gave me an understanding of it that I'd never really had before. And so we want to share that with you. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, through us God diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You know, we've talked the last series, we're talking about that place in us, and he wants to diffuse his knowledge in us in every sphere of our living, but also through us in every sphere of our endeavors, of where we go and what we do and what we understand. And we made the comment last week that borders are as much spiritual, if not more so, than natural. But borders, even in your spirit, I've got to say this, borders even in your spirit man will limit you and will limit your influence if you have the wrong borders up. Now, we're going to get to a time we're going to talk about where God tells you to expand your borders, but right now we're just trying to work out a definition and an understanding of what borders are. But borders are the limits of your, what's the right word? I'm trying to think of it. Are the limits of your influence, and they also define your limitations. You cannot go over a certain point. If there's a border there, you can't go beyond it. And if there's a border, that also limits your influence. Where your borders are, that is your area of influence that you have. I heard someone make the comment the other day that someone came to their house, and boy, when they come to the house, confusion breaks out. That's because you have open borders. You just allow anything to come in your house and change. But if you have borders, when they come into your house, they come under your influence. And see, so often when we meet people, we let our borders down and we come under their influence. So they now dictate to us how we think, how we act, how we respond. I'll tell you, Debbie's mother had borders in her house. And they weren't physical borders. She didn't tell you what you could or couldn't do. But when I would say, this is the easiest way to explain it. She would ask, because the house was always neat, always immaculate. I mean, she was a housekeeper. And when you came in, you knew that, so you didn't mess anything up. You know, it wasn't a spoken law, but it was just, this is the way things are. I'd go to the kitchen, get me a glass of water, you know, and I'd drink the water, and we're just talking and, you know, watching TV or whatever. And I'd drink the water, the glass would be empty. And pretty soon I thought, well, I'll get my glass and I'll just take it to the kitchen, get more water to it. The glass was gone. I mean, it just wasn't there anymore. And I went out to the kitchen because in my household, I grew up, we would set the water, empty glasses, by the sink. Well, I went to look at the sink. It wasn't there. Now, they didn't have a dishwasher, but she had already washed it and put it away. I'm thinking, I'm still using it. We had a German Shepherd. German Shepherds have big tails, and they like to wag their tail. When that German Shepherd was in her house, that tail never bothered anything. Never. She had dainty things set around and nice things and precious things set around. That tail never hit anything. When little children would come to the house, the little children, she said, I am not childproofing my house. The kids are going to have to learn to not touch. So unspoken, children would come to their house and they wouldn't touch anything. And it wasn't harsh. It wasn't strict. It was liberation because you were at ease. You always felt at home. You always felt comfortable because you were coming under her influence. And see, today we have a lot of broken borders because we have a lot of families now that the kids are moving back into the house and mom and dad are living under their influence, but yet mom and dad are moving to the influence of their children more than their children coming under their influence. See, this is a good example of open borders because when someone comes to your house, your rules need to prevail. And if you don't have rules set in you, then anybody else's rule, you'll yield to. And see, that's the difference between your influence and their influence. Open borders allow other people to come into your territory. And they exercise influence on you because you have not established your borders. Now let's go to another area. This isn't even in my message yet. This is just how the Lord's leading me. But in sickness, see, if you put up a border that sickness shall not come here, then that's a border. And you enforce that border. Will sickness and disease try to get in? Yeah, because in this world you will have tribulation. So it tries to come in, but if your borders are firm, no, not in this house. No, you don't come here, not in Jesus' name. I have authority over here and you don't come in. But so many people just like, I feel like the flu's coming on me. Have you ever noticed people feel things coming on them before it hits them? Well, that's a good time to put up your borders. That's the time to start your confession. So many people that I run into, they say, I knew this was going to happen. Why didn't you stop it? You know, because they don't believe in borders. They don't think they have influence. Everything is influencing them instead of them causing an influence in other areas. And when you have broken borders, you lose your influence. You put your influence down. And you, whatever happens in life, well, you never know what God's going to do. Or if you're in his territory, you do. Amen. If you're in his house, you do, you know, because it's his house. And Debbie brought this up this morning, but if you're born again, you know the will of God. You know his plans. You know his purposes. You know his nature. You just never know what God's going to do. Well, you do if you pay attention. My father and mother did not make a list of rules and post them on the front door so we could read them before we came into the house. Because they exercised influence over me and they had borders set, I knew what the rules were. We never had the father-son, mother-son talk, had the discussion. You know, it's just like, you don't run in the house, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't throw a tantrum, you don't throw a hissy fit, we don't allow those things here. So we didn't do them. Amen? Because if a child cannot control himself, when he grows up, he won't be able to control himself either. They're finding out, study after study after study has shown this, that when you teach kids how to be polite, when you teach them manners, then when they get out in real life, they know how to conduct themselves. And they're more in control of themselves. You hear so many people today are just, I don't know what to do. It's a new situation. if you learn have learned how to have manners when you go into a new situation, it doesn't intimidate you near as much because you already have a system set up and you're in control of yourself. See, this is a good description of borders. It's your influence. And when you have broken borders or open borders, you give your influence away to whatever will come into your life. Whatever you have contact with, that border, your border, suddenly falls down, and the other person, the other situation, is putting influence over you. And I don't know how else to say this. If you want to live that way, that's your decision, but you don't have to. You don't have to live with broken borders. You can establish boundaries. We're going to get into that in the future. So praise God. Our first scripture today is Proverbs 22:28. And this is one we used last week. Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. See, God has established landmarks. God has established boundaries. God has established borders. And he says, don't move those things. Don't play around with what God has established. Because he's talking about not just tradition, not just the way that we've always done it. These are not cultural boundaries, cultural barriers, cultural limitations. This is what God has put in the heart of every man. I can go to Romans chapter 1 and affirm that, but I'm not going to do that. In Deuteronomy 27:17, it says, cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark or boundary, and all the people shall say amen. Excuse me. I think that last part of that, well, that's kind of weird, and all the people say amen, because you've got to agree to that. Because if you don't agree to that, you're going to be moving everybody else's boundaries to match up what you wish. When I got out of college, I worked at an architect's office, and my first 3 or 4 months, I forget how long it was I was with the survey crew. We'd go out every morning, we'd do surveys, and they didn't let me draw the maps because I didn't know how to draw the maps, but we went out and did the surveys and took the markings and all this kind of stuff. And we got this call from this one lady that her neighbor was a foot over on her property. And she wanted us, they had been fighting over this for years, and she wanted a survey done of her property so she could legally file a suit against the neighbor and get her to move her posts. Okay? Well, we did the survey, found out she was a foot over. It was the reverse of what she thought. So after we did the survey and gave it to her, she had to move her flower beds, had to move everything else. You know, she inadvertently, she was moving her neighbor's landmark, trying to claim more. Because, well, I thought it was this way. And you have people all the time today, well, I think it ought to be this way. And we're just moving landmarks. Words don't mean what they used to mean. We're reinterpreting words. We'll get into that in one of these series too. We're reinterpreting words. We're reevaluating things that have stood for hundreds of years. We are redefining them today so you can use the right word and it means something 180 degrees from what it has meant throughout history, because we're moving landmarks. I said this before, this word landmark here is boundary, border. It is properly, the proper word for it is a cord, and it's a twisted cord. And I say that's important because boundaries are not always just a solid wall. Boundaries are variable. Boundaries can change. When you think about a twisted cord, it's that line that you put out. Have you ever measured a flower bed? The first thing you do is you mark it, and I use a string to mark it as to where I want the flower bed to go, and then I start digging for my border or whatever. But see, that string, I use a string because it can be moved any time. I don't want to have to dig out more grass than I need to, and I don't want to dig out too little grass if I need to dig out more to make a flower bed. So I use that cord to define my limits, define my barriers, but it can move at any time. If Debbie will come out and look at it, well, I think that's too close. I want it to be out there. Well, praise God, I can move the cord. I can move my territory. So this is a landmark, but it's not a permanent, never-moving landmark. That's why you can enlarge your borders, and it's why you can give your borders up. Because your borders are whatever you seek to establish. So cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. This means borders, boundaries are important. We said this last week, are important because they define influence and limitations. Borders define safe zones as well as danger zones. Borders establish limits, territories. A defining of boundaries either physically, mentally, or emotionally. You all have boundaries. We all have barriers. I'm not ever going to go there. It's like, well, that's a boundary, isn't it? You know? Well, I would never drive after dark. That's a boundary, isn't it? Now, you may think it's a good boundary, but if you need to go somewhere after dark, it's a negative boundary, isn't it? Because now it becomes a limitation. It became a freedom. I don't drive after dark. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Someone else is going to have to drive me. But if you have to drive yourself, all of a sudden it becomes a limitation because I don't do that. So it can be, a boundary can be both at the same time. Borders are necessary. They define nations and they define people and they define who you are as individuals. The question of borders is more of a spiritual question than a natural question. And this is the question with open borders. If borders are about influence and limitations, then when borders collapse, so does the influence of a nation or a people. Its laws are not applicable even within its own borders. This results in chaos or anarchy. Let's go to Job chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. This is curious. This is Job talking about evil men. And you know, you got to understand this. We all have a witness of God in us. Even evil people have a witness of God. They have a witness of right and wrong on the inside of them. So Job says about evil people, since times are not hidden from the Almighty, why do those who know him see not his days? In other words, why don't we understand God and the limitations of God? Some remove landmarks. They seize flocks violently and feed on them. He says these people have a witness on the inside of them, but they keep moving landmarks. And they move landmarks for one reason, to steal people's flocks, to steal their sheep, to steal their territory, to steal their influence. There's always evil people in the world. They don't care about God's rules. They don't care about God's laws. All they care about is how does this affect me? How can I get more by pushing somebody out of something that they rightfully deserve or rightfully should have? Peter Marshall said this, the choice before us is plain, Christ or chaos, conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. I'm rather tired of hearing about our rights and privileges as American citizens. The time is when we ought to hear about the duties and responsibilities of our citizenship. America's future depends upon her accepting and demonstrating God's government. You know, that means the rule of God, not just our custom, not just what we want, how we think it ought to be, but the rule of God. Now, it's really important because we're at this crossroads today. The choice is plain before us. He says, either Christ or chaos. Christ brings things into order. Christ brings us into a spirit of unity. Christ is the opposite of chaos. But now, if you notice, part of the chaos and part of the changing of borders, marriage. Now, how do you define marriage? Well, it used to be between a man and a woman. But now we've redefined marriage. Buttigieg, whatever his name is, he's married to another man. And it's interesting because he calls the other man his husband, so that must mean he's the wife. I don't know, but if you know, you can't both be husbands. That doesn't work in a male-female relationship. It doesn't work in a same-sex relationship. But he calls his boyfriend, live-in friend. You know, I don't know if they're actually married or not, supposedly. But we're redefining family, and I thought it was interesting because CNN said about him that he's an interesting person because he supports traditional family values. Wait a minute, traditional? See, we've redefined marriage, and now we're redefining traditional. Traditional families can be same sex. It can, you know, well, some people have said, well, if I want to marry my cow, my horse, my sheep, my guinea pig, if I want to, then it's between two people that love each other, And people are just animals. So we define, when you break down the border, see, anything takes place. Anything can happen. So now traditional family values, according to CNN, is gay marriage. Well, how long has that been traditional? About 2 years. You know, and it becomes a tradition already. No, tradition is something that, we'll get into this next week. Tradition is something that is a God law, and that marriage is between a man and a woman. Period. You can't debate it. Well, I just don't agree with that. Well, I'm sorry you disagree. But that's what God says. See, these things are known on the inside of us. Oh, I can get over into next week's message. These are known on the inside of us because it's God's law, and God's law is planted on the inside of us. Well, I don't like that. I know you don't. You know? Because, oh man, in Psalm 105, verse 19, it says, God tests us by his word. So we find out what your heart is. All we have to do is throw up the word of God to you. And if you rebel against the word of God, we know where your heart is. And if you agree with the word of God and go with the word of God, we know where your heart is. You're either, Peter Marshall said it, I'll repeat it again. He said, the choice before us is plain, Christ or chaos. Now let's go to Judges chapter 17. I gave Stephen two verses. We're going to go through both of them. They both say the same thing. Judges 17:6. And also Judges 21:25, both of the verses say exactly the same thing. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. See, if we're not for Christ, then we become king. And if we become king, I'm going to do what is right in my eyes, because I don't care about your eyes. I don't care about my neighbor. I don't care about what they think, what they say, because it's all about me, because there's no king. What that means is there's no authority in the land. There's no governing consensus about how we should act toward one another. You know, I always laughed at the Western movies growing up because Quantrell's Raiders were in Kansas, and I was born in Kansas, and I was in that area where Quantrell worked and everything, and he was a Southern, I'd have to say Southern sympathizer. He was a robber, a thief, but one of his goals was he wanted to set up an independent nation. He really did. And a lot of the Western movies are like this, or out in California, they, you know, with Zorro, these guys are trying to set up their own little dictatorship and all this kind of stuff. And I always laugh about, who would ever think about a thing like that? And then I think about modern history in Afghanistan. You know, they've got tribes that are trying to set up their own kingdom or have their own kingdom and refuse to yield to anybody else. And most of what's going on in Pakistan is tribal warfare. Most of what's going on in Africa is still tribal warfare because they don't have a unifying concept to bring them together. And they're all trying to set up their own little independent little dictatorships. And it's like, that's what was going on out west. We were having essentially tribal warfare out west that these group of people would get together and they said, we're going to establish new boundaries and we're going to establish new borders. Because if the South can withdraw from the United States, then anybody can withdraw if you have enough people and there's nothing the federal government can do about it. Now think about the proposition. California, there was a proposition that California would become an independent state. Oh, why? Some people said, well, let California leave. That guarantees Republicans win elections from here on out. Because if it wasn't for California, if it wasn't for the major cities in California, California would vote Republican, conservative. But it's the cities that are throwing the votes. So California said, well, I'm going to just withdraw. And they actually voted it down because they realized that they can't get any federal government if they withdraw. Any monies, they can't get, you know, they'll have to get their own army to protect them against all the illegals coming in because all the illegals would definitely go to California. And I think we should proudly send them to the state that wants them, that wants independence. I mean, have you heard they're now complaining about, we have too many immigrants, we can't support all of these people. Welcome to reality. You know, just a microcosm of what's happening in Europe and other places in the world. But Job says some remove landmarks. They just keep changing the boundaries. Whatever we want to do today, we'll just change it to that. Whether it's marriage, whether it's legal immigration, whether it's legal jobs, whether it's this or that, we'll just keep changing the boundary all the time. And they seize flocks violently and feed on them. In other words, they change boundaries to make it easy for them, and they don't care about you, because every time you change boundaries, it affects the boundaries of someone else. In our own Declaration of Independence, I love these words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. The Declaration of Independence says governments are established, proper governments are established to protect what God has given to us as inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So governments are there to protect us from these things, not to take them away from us, but to protect and to guarantee these things. Now, some people say, well, that's old-fashioned thinking now. That doesn't pertain to today because things have changed so much. No, we still want life. The human spirit still seeks after liberty, and we still want to be able to pursue happiness. Those things are endowed among men. See, Loki, you've heard me quote this before, but I love these quotes from Loki. He's from the Avengers. And he said, he gets a crowd of people together and he says, you were made to be ruled. Think about that. You were made to be ruled. I was reading about Wilson, President Wilson, Woodrow Wilson the other day. And he said, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are out of date. Because this is what he said. People are too stupid, too ignorant, too unlearned to be able to really truly govern themselves. So what we need is professional people trained in the right schools to take over government, and that they will tell us what we need for ourselves, because we can't figure it out for ourselves. What's he doing? Well, the Declaration of Independence is old-fashioned because it talks about that you have an inalienable right to life. Now think about that in terms of abortion. Liberty, we're going to take that away from you. We're going to force you to do what we think is best for you in the pursuit of happiness. All these things, a lot of these people are willing to take away. Hillary Clinton said one of her mentors was Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson was an out-and-out racist. The military was unified, blacks and whites staying in the same barracks. There was no differentiation. When Woodrow Wilson became president, the first thing he did was he separated the black forces from the white forces. He fired all of the black government employees in Washington, D.C. And Hillary Clinton says he's the one that I got all my knowledge from and information from. And yet Woodrow Wilson attacked the U.S. Constitution, as president even, and said it was outmolded, it was too old. See, he's moving the boundaries. He's moving the boundaries. And he wanted the League of Nations to tell everybody else what they ought to do and how they ought to live. See, the new normal, this is another quote from Loki, freedom is life's greatest lie. Freedom is life's greatest lie. Now, the sad thing to me is this is a movie, but sometimes movies actually do reflect how some people think, and there's a lot of Lokis loosed in the world. I mean, they're running amok right now. They're just, freedom is life's greatest lie. You don't really want freedom. You don't know what you want, but I'll tell you what you want, and I'll tell you what you need, and I'll tell you when you need it and when you'll get it, and this is sad. See, the new normal sanity The new sanity is chaos. There's nothing. There is no truth. There are no absolutes. See, chaos is against order. It's against reason. It's against cause and effect. I mean, a child knows if you do certain things, and they learn this over a period of time, if you do certain things, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Now, it took us a physicist to write that down so we could understand this. Wow, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Children figure that out. You know, if you run into a wall, you get hurt. If you jump off of a roof, there's a reaction to that, and you don't really want to do that after you break your arm. You know, see, we learn by trial and error. Well, we had to have a physicist come out and tell us that and write a law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Well, duh. See, chaos is opposed to order. Randomness is the new wisdom. Now, everybody know the name Picasso? Did you notice when randomness, when he came in and was a famous artist, and to look at his pictures, and he drew a portrait of somebody, the nose was over here, and one ear up in this corner, and one ear over here, and the mouth was down here, and they're all misshapen and all this stuff. Chaos became the new order. And people go, wow, he's thinking outside the box. He needs to get back into the box to find out what life is all about. Life is not what you imagine it to be. Now, either he was really messed up, but now think about the people that said, wow, he is really good. He is expressionist art. Wow, think how sick they are. You know, I mean, nobody would ever know Picasso if there wasn't a bunch of sick people following after him. Wow, this is really good. You know, when you can paint, again, Picasso didn't do this, but when you can paint a can of Campbell's tomato soup and have it sold for $50,000 or $100,000 or $200,000, there is something wrong. See, this is the new sanity. This is the new normal, is chaos. Everything's chaotic. There is no normal. There is no rule. There's nothing. Saul Alinsky said that out of destruction comes order. And he was one of the mentors for President Obama. And one of President Obama's staff, I can't remember who it was right now, said that there's in every moment of chaos, there's an opportunity to take advantage of. Wow. Some people think that way. Evolution rejects an intelligent designer. You can't even talk about intelligent design in colleges because they can get you fired as a science professor or as any other kind of professor, because evolution is based on chaos. You never know what's going to happen. You know, this is partly because I've said this before, but babies in the womb are not really babies. They're not really human, because we really don't know what's going to pop out, because they could just suddenly evolve. Yeah, well, unless something radically happens, it's going to be a human. And evolution always seems to go in a negative direction of what we've been able to witness. Oh, no. Life came out of chaos. No, it didn't. Life cannot survive without oxygen. But in every experiment to create life, they have to deplete it of oxygen in order to get half of it to form, and it never forms a complete system, but they form half of it and they come out. We've created life. No, you didn't create life, because the moment you interject oxygen into it, it dies. Because life needs oxygen to survive. You cannot have life form without oxygen. But oh, in evolution you can, because see, in evolution anything is possible. It just happens randomly, at chance. You are a giant mistake. You may be at the top food chain of the mistake, but you're a giant mistake. Life is a giant mistake. It shouldn't have happened. But evolution says, oh, it does. See, the new order springs from confusion. Truth does not exist. Truth becomes relative. It becomes individualistic. It becomes whatever I choose to accept. This is the new normal. There are no guidelines. It is a rejection of science. Now, let me give you a quote here. This is a long one, but I want you to get this. Joseph Goebbels, he was Hitler's propaganda minister. This is what he said. We put it on the screen so you can read it for yourself. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. See, the state has to shield you, because only as the state shields and protects the lie will people continue to exist it, to believe it. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie. And thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Do you understand why your faith in God is such a threat to political powers? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to me, can come to the Father except through me. Oh, we can't have that. Why? Because truth is an enemy of the state. And every state that wants to set itself up against the rule of God, against the laws of God, the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, every state that lifts that up is afraid of the lie, because if the lie doesn't get protected by the state, then truth will win. We've been indoctrinated into abortion in our schools for almost 50 years now, and yet the majority of Americans still believe abortion is wrong. Over, I think it's 77 or 80% of Americans believe that abortion rules need to be changed. They want limitations on abortion. They do not want abortion on demand. They don't want third trimester abortions. Most of them don't even want second trimester abortions. Only 18% of Americans believe that you should have abortions all the time, anytime you want it. 18%. You would never know that from the news media. You would never know that from Planned Parenthood, because they're not going to tell you these things. But in the most recent poll, and we're talking about a poll that's less than 6 months old, only 18% of Americans support abortion on demand. But yet we're going to force you to have abortions, and we're going to force you to pay for abortions that you don't want. Why? Because, well, we're going to protect a woman's reproductive rights. I'll tell you, she lost her reproductive rights when she got pregnant. Once she became pregnant, that child became a human being. Hallelujah. See, truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Let's go to John 8, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Oh, let me read this, because I don't have all of it in my notes. But this is Jesus talking. And he says to them, he says, you're of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Says, I'm telling you the truth, and you don't want to believe me, but you'll believe anybody out there with a lie. But you don't want to believe me because I tell you the truth. And verse 46 says, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? See, this is a big question for today. If I'm telling you the truth, why do you not believe me? And Jesus already gave us the answer, because you're of your father, the devil. And there is no truth in him. So when the truth is presented and you refuse to believe it or to accept it or to validate it or to check it out, you're just telling everyone your father is the devil, because you are against God. We have this choice before us, either Christ or chaos. And if you don't choose Christ, you will be in chaos. Your rules will be moment by moment, and there's nothing enduring and nothing lasting in your values. Ben Carson said this. This is from America the Beautiful that he wrote in 2012. You may be surprised to learn that it was the rapid rise of the United States as an economic power in the world that gave birth to the ideals of socialism. Socialism really isn't new. But it has a fresh twist on it. But because America, by 1900, had become a great nation, all of a sudden Lenin came up with this idea of socialism. Karl Marx came up with this great idea of socialism. They called it communism, but communism is socialism, pure and simple. And socialism is the acquiring of the state of the control over the lives of people. And their object, now this is really weird, but their object, and I've read this in so many different places, the object, even Woodrow Wilson said this, the object of this new world order, this new government, this socialism that Woodrow Wilson was part of and believed in, is about creating a new human being. Think about that. It's all about trying to create the perfect human being. And see, we will attain that when we can regulate you, and like Nazi Germany, when we can eradicate the people that are not fully human. when we can get rid of all the weakness in our society and don't, I mean, think about this. Darwin said no farmer would breed an inferior cow with a good bull because you're going to get an inferior species. Said no farmer, every farmer is intelligent enough not to do that because he wants the best breed of animals. He says people are no different. What? Now, Hillary Clinton called us deplorables. She said half the nation, anybody who voted for Donald Trump is a deplorable. Just recently, was it Stacey Abrams or, it might have been somebody else, has recently come out and said that if you voted for Donald Trump, you are not sane, you are not right, there's something wrong with you. You know, it's like, no, we have a different opinion. Since when does having a different opinion make you not fully human? Make you somehow a lower class citizen? Now see, if you take all these things in, of what I'm saying to you, they're scared of us. But it's the wealth of America. We'll get into some quotes here not this week, but in a few weeks that will amaze you about social justice. The social justice is not about social justice the way that you and I probably think about it. Social justice is based on the redistribution of wealth. That's its basis. Global warming, global climate change, the United Nations itself has said this is about global redistribution of wealth. It's the Robin Hood syndrome. We're going to create a new person because we're going to make everybody equal. We'll make everybody on the same level. See, under socialism, there is no middle class. Think about this. Under President Obama, the middle class actually declined for the first time in history. Under President Trump, it's increasing again now. Now, why are they against the middle class? Because socialists believe in two levels of people, workers and overseers. Those who are intelligent enough to take care of business that needs to be taken care of, and everybody else just be quiet and do your job. They don't believe in democracy. Now see, these are changing rules again, changing things. Democracy is one person, one vote. Democracy is the majority win. The majority get their way. Our founding fathers feared a democracy because they said the rights of the minority need to be protected. That's why we don't elect a president by the common vote. We elect them by the electoral college system because that way every state has an equal importance in the voting procedures that go on. Because if democracy rules, they could say, gee, let's lock up everybody who disagrees with us, and democracy wins. See, socialism doesn't believe in democracy because the socialists all talk about you don't know what you really need, you don't know what you really want, but there's an elite group of us who understand the needs, and we will take care of you. So therefore, they believe in workers and leaders, overseers. They believe in slaves and owners. An independent middle class is a threat to this system. China's dealing with it right now. They're developing a middle class because they're industrializing their country. Their people are coming up in education, and they're getting a middle class. And the middle class is threatening the system because the people in the lower economic bracket are saying, if we get educated, if we get a job, we want these things too. And China's trying to fight off a revolt of the poor wanting to be middle class. They don't all want to be billionaires. They want to have air conditioning. They want to have a car. They want to have a decent house. They want normal things, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And China can't give it to them because if they do, the elite lose control of the nation. President Obama in September the 8th of 2018 talking about the election, said this election, it elected Donald Trump, between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, this election is to restore sanity. This election is about restoring sanity to the United States, or to restore the proper order of things. Think about that. See, this man who cannot decide when a person becomes fully human says this election is to restore sanity. Okay. Socialists believe that freedom is a blip in human history that never should have happened because it gives people a false hope. That's why they don't like the United States. That's why all people from South America want to live in the United States. It's not because we're such a sexist, racist, bigoted country. It's because there's opportunity here that their own nation, who is a dictatorship, cannot and will not allow them to possess. Socialism only works when people are not allowed to leave the plantation or to think for themselves. This is modern slavery. Ben Stein of This Year made this comment. We have a society in which there are an awful lot of people who have no idea that Stalin, Hitler, Mao Tse-tung all came to power promising the same kinds of things that Ms. Ocasio-Cortez is promising. And it led to mass murder, it led to dictatorship, it led to genocide. Because we're letting down our borders. See, the Declaration of Independence is a spiritual border. And if you believe in that, then it's the truth. You're representing the truth, I believe, of God. And if you represent that, you become a threat to the state, and the state must suppress it at all cost. Go to 1 John chapter 1, or chapter 2, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. He says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no truth or no lie is of the truth. See, John's saying, I'm not saying these things to you because you don't know the truth. I'm writing them to you because you do know the truth. But you need to hear the truth again. Because sometimes when everybody keeps shouting a lie, it's easy to say, well, maybe they have a bit of truth in it. Maybe they've got some really good ideas. Maybe we need to do this. Maybe we need to be more compassionate. Maybe we need to... It's like, no. He said, I'm writing to you because you know the truth. And the truth is the truth. And you also know that no lie is of the truth. And this day they're trying to repeat things that we know are not true. Common sense, science tells us they are not true. And yet they're being proposed as truth. And it can confuse people, confuse believers, confuse us because we start wanting to be compassionate, and they're trying to break down our borders, our barriers to this new freedom, this new way of living. Still in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. So how do we know the truth? But the anointing which you have received from Him, from God, abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. So if you abide in Christ, if you abide in the things of God, Jesus, oh man, we just read Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. I've come to set the prisoner free. I've come to open the prison doors. I've come to make the blind to see. I've come to make the lame man to walk. No, we can't have that. See, it's a spirit of liberty. I've told you this before, but there are many languages in the earth that do not even have a word for liberty or for freedom. The concept does not exist. And if you get rid of the Bible, all you have left is Loki. A demon spirit who tells you were created to be slaves. That freedom is the greatest myth of all times. And yet, see, on the inside of us, even an unborn again people, on the inside of us, this is why we're having an immigration problem at the southern border. This is why everybody wants to come to the United States, because there is a spirit of liberty in this place and they have a longing in them to be free. If all men were created to be slaves, if this was our condition, then why would you want to leave Guatemala? Why? If every nation is the same, if every nation is equal, why do you want to leave your nation where at least you know the rules? We know people that have had missions in Guatemala. And they tell you when you go into town on the movies, you expect to be stopped on the road. They're robbing you. They're taking money from you. You can be robbed in town. We know a lady in Haiti, a good friend of ours, and they were building up a business. And think about this. They had built their business up enough that they were able to buy a refrigerator to operate with their business. She went into town to go to the bank because there's no bank out where she is. So she went into town to go to the bank to deposit the money. Somebody heard she was coming, grabbed her, beat the stuffings out of her, injured her, took all the money, and they had to sell the refrigerator because they didn't have any money to operate anymore. This is what goes on in other countries. Now, Walter Williams says, I don't know how this will affect you, but he says, if someone else takes your money from you, they're called a thief, and we prosecute them. But if the federal government calls it a tax, Walter Williams says that taxation is just a form of robbery. Joe Biden is proposing for the environment new taxes estimating $1.7 trillion. He's also saying that he wants to repeal all the tax benefits that Donald Trump has granted to the middle class. Cory Booker says he wants to give every individual in America $1,000 to help him get along. That's called a tax reduction. When Debbie and I were poor enough several years back that we were not paying income tax, we got a tax refund. We weren't paying tax. How do you get a refund on something you're not paying? How do you get money back when you don't earn enough money to pay taxes? But we got a tax refund. Bizarre. It's different. Everybody needs to make a livable wage. That's what welfare is about. That's what all these programs that we have already, but we need more programs. We need newer programs. We need more efficient programs. The bureaucracy. See, God created us with an inner desire of truth, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are God-given. That's why our framers said these are inalienable rights, meaning no man has the right to take these away from you. It's not that they won't, but they have no right to take them away from us. And America is in a unique position because we are the only nation in the world that is founded on these inalienable rights. You say, well, we've got the Bill of Rights. Yeah, the Bill of Rights, because the states wanted to guarantee that the federal government wouldn't just usurp everything like they have. England does not have a Bill of Rights. They don't have freedom of the press. If England wants to shut down your press, they can do it. And they've done it. They've done it in the last 2 years. They just went in and confiscated the press and shut down newspaper. You're out of here. Why? They didn't like what they were printing. Now, I don't know who the group was. I couldn't tell you anything about it. But they just did. Why? Because there's no Bill of Rights. They have no freedom of speech. And now we're coming to the point on our college campuses of where we don't have freedom of speech. You know, the colleges are shutting it down. They need free zones where people won't get tense. I don't know about anybody else. When I was in college and going to class, they were intense. I had to study. I read the other day, one college wants to get this. The students are saying no one should receive any grade lower than a C. This is about your level of education. This is about your level of competency. Now, a C student can become a multi-billionaire. And look at Donald Trump. Now, I say that in jest, but everybody says how stupid he is and how slow he is and he doesn't catch on to things. And he made a billionaire. So if this idiot that a lot of people say is an idiot, if he can become a billionaire, what's your problem? I'm just saying. But you've got to have the right pedigree. Well, I want to tell you something. You have the right pedigree. You're born again. Your Father is Father God in heaven. He is our supplier. He is our giver. He is our sustainer. He is our healer. He is our author of life. He is everything that we need. And in Him, we can do all things. Amen? So we have, I'm already about two sermons over. We have a spirit of liberty that our boundaries, I'll close with this finally. Our boundaries are not limited to what we can see or what we can imagine. Our boundaries are limited by who God is. Now, we walk in our limited boundary because that's all we can see. But when you start walking in the realm of the Spirit, so those boundaries, it's like that twisted cord. It just keeps moving and moving. And the more you walk in God, the more revelation knowledge you have, the closer you walk with Him, those boundaries just keep enlarging and enlarging. Well, why doesn't God just give it to us all at once? Read about when God brought Israel out of Egypt. He says, I'm going to allow you to occupy the land that you can handle. Little by little, you must drive the enemy out. But He says, I've given you the land to possess. And if you read what land God gave to Israel, they still haven't possessed it all. Woo! God's coming back to reestablish the kingdom of David. Hallelujah. And He's going to get all the land. All the land that God promised them. Amen. Let's stand up. Well, Father God, we give You praise today. We thank You, God, that our boundaries are only limited by You and our understanding of who You are in us. And we thank You, God, You're enlarging our boundaries. But we thank You, God, that we walk in the truth. We walk in the Word of God. We walk in the Spirit of the living God. And Father, we give You praise that we live outside the boundaries and the barriers of men. Father, we thank You that by Your Spirit we are free from every encumbrance and from every limitation that men would impose on us. And we thank You, Father, that by the Spirit and by Your will, greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank You, God, You're the greater one. And Lord, we choose to live and walk and to move in You, Father God, that all the things that You have promised to us, all the things that You have spoken to us about, God, that we shall possess them in this life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you.